the Missouri State Journal, a weekly program keeping you in touch with Missouri State University.
Imagine you're munching on popcorn with your kids, watching the latest animated movie, and you continue to be amazed by the spectacular visuals, musical cues, and overall entertainment value. But according to Drs. Shannon Wooden and Ken Gillum, Missouri State professors in the Department of English, you should be focused on the messages within these films that viewers often overlook. In fact, the married couple and parents of two have spent the last 2 years researching those messages held within Pixar films, specifically those involving boys and masculinity.
When we first started the project, we were very optimistic, actually, because the types of masculinity we were seeing seemed to break down some older stereotypes. The male protagonists in Toy Story and in Cars and in The Incredibles all seemed to be learning important lessons about how to be better fathers or better community members and how to find satisfaction in those sorts of emotional outlets. We looked at a bunch of the other films, though, and realized that Pixar's boys and men alike were regularly asked to conform to social standards, even if it meant denying whatever about them was unique or special. They were all athletic and kind of macho in their affect. They were discouraged from being particularly bright. They weren't allowed to be skinny or small. There's a kind of real typical kind of alpha boyhood that's being reiterated film after film after film, with anybody who falls outside of that type being fairly viciously punished.
Gillum points to numerous examples in the Pixar films, and they dive deep into these messages in their research.
If you look at, well, Monsters Incorporated, the alpha male, the lead scarer, is huge, broad-shouldered, loud, whereas the sidekick is, you know, small and round. He's like a green Christmas ornament, essentially. If you look at Mr. Incredible, of course, same kind of thing, that classic V shape, although very exaggerated. And if you look at Syndrome, the antagonist in the piece, he's kind of round-shouldered and wider at the hips and things like that.
Having two boys of their own, they take issue with the way these films allow characters to treat each other because a powerhouse like Pixar does influence cultural norms.
Mike Wazowski in Monsters University actually gets his day, apparently, in the story that's all about him. But it's this real basic Revenge of the Nerds plot where he comes in with this big dream and this tiny little body and an incredible academic work ethic and mind. We find out at the end of that film, he's never going to achieve that dream. He's always going to be the sidekick. He's always going to be the assistant because he was not born to the superior body.
In the world of Pixar's Monsters, Wooden and Gillum are frustrated that the developers didn't take more chances with adding more depth and diversity into the roles the characters would play.
There are so many different kinds of bodies imagined in those films. You think, with all of those different kinds of bodies, we still end up with the recognizable alpha male body and the recognizable nerd body. With all that potential, all the color and the numerous eyes and the gigantic and the very, very small, and they still can't give us opportunities beyond the familiar.
Wooden and Gillum's research is a parallel conversation to the gender studies of Disney princesses. They note slow but positive progress in Disney's representation of their female leads and hope to similarly influence the conversation of Pixar's depictions of masculinity. Their book, Pixar's Boy Stories, Masculinity in a Postmodern Age, is research-based and scholarly, but written to be accessible to parents and others interested in this material.
It reads the films kind of counterintuitively, so it tries to point out things that people will say, oh, that's in there. I never saw that. And we hope that we've done a halfway decent job, and at least in a number of instances, pointing out things that
to the film. Things that are counterintuitive, not obvious, but that anybody, even without scholarly training, will be able to easily identify once their attention is focused in that way.
The two bounced ideas off of each other and their kids as they were writing, and they were amazed with the feedback.
I think it is extraordinary what even children will understand. We had conversations with our boys through the whole writing of the book that were remarkable and influenced what we had to say. Why is Mike Wazowski being treated that way? Do you think that's fair? Why do you think Miles Axelrod is so angry that he wants to blow up the World Grand Prix Do you think he's got any kind of cause that would explain why he's so angry? Are there other responses that we could imagine to the way he's being treated?
That was Dr. Shannon Wooden and Ken Gillum from the Department of English at Missouri State University. I'm Nikki Donaldson for the Missouri State Journal.
For more information, contact the Office of University Communications at 417-836-6397.